Good morning, everyone, and welcome to AMP's 2018 full-year results media call. I'm joined this morning by Francesco De Ferrari, AMP's Chief Executive, and Gordon Lefebvre, AMP's Chief Financial Officer. Francesco and Gordon will now present the results, and then we will have Q&A to follow. The operator will notify you when the Q&A begins. I'll now hand over to Francesco.
Thanks, Lachlan, and good morning, everyone. This is the first set of AMP results for me since joining late last year. Now, I've come to AMP at a challenging time for the industry. It's clear to me that AMP is a great company with a noble purpose. The company holds a very special place in Australian society. It plays a critical role in building and protecting the wealth of millions of Australians. But we have to recognize that AMP has faced some significant challenges over the last year and uncovered issues in our business that need to be addressed and addressed quickly. Today, we're going to get Gordon to take you through the detail on the full 18 results, and then I'll make some comments about our 19 priorities before taking questions. So, Gordon, over to you.
Thanks, Francesco, and good morning to you all. 2018 was a difficult year for our business, as reflected in our underlying profit and reduction in bottom-line results. In October last year, we announced an agreement to sell our life insurance company to Resolution Life. Following that agreement, we've reported our business unit results as sold and retained up to the completion of the transaction. Earnings for the retained businesses were resilient, with good performances from AMP Capital and AMP Bank, offsetting the headwinds faced in the Australian wealth management business. For the sold businesses, earnings were down year-on-year, with the deterioration in wealth protection having the largest impact on results. Bottom-line profits were impacted by a range of one-off and significant items, the largest of which is the Advice Remediation Program. I'll now go through each of those business unit results very briefly. Australian Wealth Management. Well, it'd be fair to say the Australian Wealth Management business was hit by a perfect storm in 2018. That said, in the face of significant brand and reputation impacts, operating earnings were reasonably resilient, down 7%. Net cash outflows totaled more than $3 billion in the second half. This reflected a range of factors, including Royal Commission impacts and outflows to industry funds, which was a broader trend across the sector. Together with an absence of corporate super mandate wins, this resulted in fund flows substantially down on the prior year. Margins declined at an increased rate in the wake of competition and the repricing of our core MySuper offerings. Repricing came into effect midway through the second half, and the full annual effect will flow through in 2019. The business tightly managed controllable costs in response, which helped to offset the revenue challenges. In New Zealand, our wealth management business continued to be a stable contributor to the group, delivering $53 million in operating earnings. AMP is the leading provider of KiwiSaver, New Zealand's retirement equivalent, and this remains a focus for growth. Revenues were negatively impacted by margin compression, partially offset by increased income from financial advice. AMP Bank performed well in 2018, delivering 6% profit in a highly competitive environment. We maintained conservative credit settings and tight liquidity management. Together with tougher market conditions, this resulted in moderating growth in the second half of 2018. Our retail deposits grew strongly as a funding source for loan growth. We expect the mortgage market to continue to be competitive next year, with the big four banks retreating to their core. This is likely to put some pressure on our margins. AMP Capital had another good result, with operating earnings up 7%. The result again emphasises our strength and capabilities in infrastructure and property, and the benefits of continuing to grow internationally. Earnings growth was supported by robust fund flows from overseas investors into our funds. Domestically, conditions were more difficult, with a significant increase in net fund outflows. We invested in AMP Capital in 2018, which is reflected in its higher controllable costs, and we plan to continue investing for growth into 2019. For our sold businesses, as indicated in our January market update, second half operating earnings were impacted by negative claims experience in Australia, in line with industry trends. Best estimate assumptions were strengthened, for total and permanent disability and income protection products. Negative claims experience and capitalized losses from these strengthened assumptions led to a $176 million operating loss in Australian wealth protection, offsetting earnings in our mature and New Zealand businesses. On the capital front, we remain strongly capitalized with $1.65 billion of capital above the minimum regulatory requirements. The board today has declared a final dividend at 4 cents per share, franked at 90%. This is a reduction in the 2017 final dividend and recognises weaker business performance in the second half, capital impacts from provisioning and assumption strengthening, as well as the uncertainties in the operating environment. The board has been clear that it intends to retain a strong capital surplus in determining dividends going forward and ahead of the resolution sale completing. Turning to that Resolution Life transaction, we're on track for legal separation to be completed and the transaction settled by the end of the third quarter of this year. As we've said before, we firmly believe that Resolution Life is better placed to own and manage the wealth protection and mature business, given its lower cost of capital and significant relevant global experience. When the transaction completes, AMP's earnings will be rebased, and we've set out today details about that rebasing. It's important to note this is based on previous disclosures and using the earnings information that we've disclosed today. We'll be a smaller business when the resolution transaction settlement occurs, with 2018 equivalent underlying profit reducing to $461 million and the Australian wealth management earnings somewhere in the order of $200 million. We regard this as a more representative base of which to set earnings expectations for 2019. So that's a summary of the 2018 earnings. I'll hand back now to Francesco to complete our presentation.
Thank you, Gordon. Now let me give you a view on where we see AMP at the moment, our immediate priorities, and the longer term opportunities. A key point of context is obviously the Royal Commission, which was a confronting but valuable experience for the industry. For AMP, the commission was a catalyst for change, from board renewal and management change to improving governance, accelerating client remediation, and sharpening our offer to clients through repricing. Arguably, though, the most significant change last year was the transformational decision to divest our wealth protection and mature businesses to Resolution Life. In selling these businesses, I'm acutely aware that we're moving away from AMP's historic core as a life insurance company. This is a significant shift, but a very necessary one, given the capital intensity and volatility of wealth protection. Interestingly, one of the criticisms I've heard in my short time here is that AMP is slow to change. That could have been true in the past, but in 18, my observation is that AMP has undergone radical change and taking major decisions that are setting it on a very different path for the future. Post-separation, we will have four core operating businesses: wealth management businesses in Australia and New Zealand, AMP Bank, and AMP Capital. Let me take you through them one by one. Wealth management in Australia has foundational assets and strong market positions. However, the wealth management business model is challenged, and we need to fundamentally reshape it and make it fit for purpose in the future environment. The regulatory landscape in this space is complex and evolving. But irrespective of this, one of the things that worries me as a newcomer to the market is the question around affordability of advice. There is a risk that face-to-face advice will become increasingly unaffordable for the average Australian who needs it the most. The strategic challenge for AMP, true to its purpose, is to reinvent its role as an advice-led wealth manager. There is a significant opportunity to commercialize our distribution footprint by sharpening our client value proposition and rethinking the economic model, simplifying and rationalizing our product set to improve customer outcomes. In our New Zealand and wealth management business, it's a business that has delivered resilient earnings profile and demonstrated tight cost control in recent years. Given the focus on separation, growth acceleration, and current market conditions, we have decided to defer IPO on consideration until the separation is complete. Our bank is a niche but successful player in a highly competitive market dominated by the Big Four and with significant room for growth. The bank has historically relied heavily on the broker channel for distribution, but given the recommendations of the Royal Commission, the future of this channel is expected to evolve. Our strategic opportunity is to better leverage the bank through our wealth management business, providing clients with comprehensive financial advice. In AMP Capital, we have real strengths and globally competitive capabilities. Real assets, which are infrastructure and property, are performing well and attracting strong external flows, especially internationally. This growth trajectory is really impressive, and we have seen an annual growth rate of 20% in real assets, external assets under management over the past 5 years. We see significant further growth potential in the business, and we will continue to invest to unlock it. Our view is that the uncertainty in the final legislative outcomes from the Royal Commission requires us to take a prudent approach before finalizing our multi-year strategy and financial implications. Our first priority for 19 is the separation of our wealth and protection and mature businesses. Unwinding 170 years of operations is incredibly complex, but it will help simplify and reduce the capital intensity of our business portfolio and create the basis for a new, streamlined, and more agile AMP. The second priority in 19 is the delivery of our advice remediation program. Our objective here is to remediate clients as quickly as possible so we can start focusing on building the future. Finally, we need to prioritize getting our risk, governance, and control settings right. And this includes placing ethics and risk at the core of our culture as a non-negotiable item. As a consequence, 19 is a transitional year focused on the delivery of these priorities. Now, delivering each of these projects individually would be challenging in and of itself. Delivering all three at once will require us to be fully focused and execute with relentless prioritization and discipline. So, in conclusion, we undoubtedly have challenges ahead, but we also have a clear set of strengths and assets to build upon that leaves me confident for the future direction of the group. Now, I want to make sure we leave time for questions. So, Lachlan, over to you.
Thanks, Francesco. If you have a question, could you please register as per the operator's instruction?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sarah Denker from the Sydney Morning Herald. Please go ahead.
G'day. Just quickly, I was just looking through the fourth quarter cash flows. They're pretty bad. It looks like the cash flow problem is accelerating. They haven't seen much movement in corporate super comparative to retail. Do you expect to take a greater hit to outflows from the corporate super part of the business in the coming quarters? What's the outlook for that part of the business?
Yeah, good morning, Dara Danke. Look, the outflows, net outflows in the fourth quarter were about equivalent to what we'd experienced in the third quarter. So whilst outflows are all the same, they are actually at a stable level. On the corporate super front, we have not lost any major programs reflected in those numbers. And from an outlook perspective, we're continuing to work incredibly hard to turn the flows from negative to positive. But our outlook for those in the immediate term is probably to have flows in quarter one no different to what we experienced in quarter three and four.
Great, thank you for that. And also, I guess, previously looking through, and I know this was ahead of the sale, some of the analysts were asking about the prospect of a capital raising from AMP. Can AMP rule out having to do a capital raising in the first 6 months of 2019?
Based on the capital numbers, Derodenko, you're seeing today, we can rule out the prospect of a capital raising in the first half.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm going to let someone else have a go so they can ask some questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Joyce Malarkis from News Corp. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just following up. Hi there, both of you. Following up from Sarah's question about the outflows, you mentioned the flow to industry funds. How does AMP go about stemming those outflows? Because they are very significant outflows. And my second question is, you mentioned reshaping the advice network. Given we have the recommendations from the Royal Commission, we've had them for over a week now, what does that entail for AMP going forward?
So let me try to take these two questions. One on sort of the external cash flow question. I think if you look at this, there are three main things that are relevant, I think, to see a significant turnaround in cash flows. Confidence in the brand, quality of the product we're selling, and the intensity of the sales effort. Now, confidence in the brand, from everything I've seen, there's a lot of goodwill around the AMP brand. And so I believe in time, we will get back to a position of where we have the trust of customers. In terms of the quality of the product, I think we have some really competitive offering, and we will continue to rationalize and improve our product range to make sure we can compete head-on with the industry funds. The one thing that we're most challenged today is the intensity of the sales effort, with clearly our distribution network being focused significantly on the priority of remediating clients. And so hopefully also that is something that as we get through our 19 priority, we'll be able to release some of that capacity for generating new business. Now, on the reshaping of the network, I think one of the outcomes of the Royal Commission for me, and that pointed to my worry before, is that face-to-face advice is becoming less affordable and more onerous to run. Clearly, we're working with our financial agent partners in this, in discussing what are the scenarios for the future. But clearly, they will need to involve a lot of focus on professionalization and compliance and being able to reshape the network on a smaller opportunity size than we are currently seeing today.
And when you say smaller, is that sort of 10, 20, 30%? Do you have a sort of a rough idea whether it'll be a meaningful change?
Well, I'm not an expert in the Australian market. If I just look at the dislocation that is happening through the FASIA standards, I think the whole distribution network is going to go through quite a bit of change. We're not in a position right now to put precise percentages to that. Also because the Royal Commission provides direction of travel, but it is not definitive legislation yet. And so we will need to work with the regulator, the government, and all the other stakeholders as these recommendations get translated into effective legislation to make sure that client outcomes are also held at the center of everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ross Greenwood from Nine News. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just looking at this, I know that in October you put out a statement basically saying that the funds flow in that third quarter the outflow had been $1.5 billion. Can you just put a number on the net cash outflow from the Australian wealth management business over the course of the full financial year, thank you?
Yes, I can. Ross, thank you for that question. $3.968
billion. $3.968
billion.
Okay, and what percentage of the funds in the pool does that represent?
We had funds under management in that business of $123 billion and average funds through the year of $130 billion.
Okay, and would it be considered that that money that flowed out, the almost $4 billion during last financial year, that most of that money has gone to industry funds?
We would think, Ross, that a reasonable percentage of that has gone to industry funds.
Okay. Can you also tell me one other thing? You spoke about the number of financial advisors that the AMP has got inside the wealth business on which it's going to be based in the future. Can you tell me what the numbers were 12 months ago as compared with today?
We've got a detailed schedule of that, Ross, which is in the results presentation.
Sorry, I shouldn't be able to pick that up myself, but I haven't spotted it yet.
Oh, that's okay. No drama. Okay, so we've got in our core licensees 2,567.
Yes.
A year ago, we had 2,692.
692. Just another question on this in regards to the Royal Commission and the recommendations there. Do you believe it will be increasingly difficult to be able to hang on to those full suite of financial advisors that you have currently?
Maybe I'll let Francesco just give you his sense of that, Ross.
Thank you.
So I think I know a lot of the financial modelling in the past was really driven by the number of financial advisors. My experience has been by seeing these type of transformation in other markets that actually the quality of financial advisors is much more relevant than the absolute number. And so as this business increasingly becomes more difficult to run, I have seen a general trend of consolidation where people who do financial advice on the side or have it as a part-time activity, or would have a one-person practice, they will find it very hard to be able to comply with the new FASEA professional standards and with all the other requirements that are coming from running a compliant advice business. And so if you want my outlook will be that we will be able to really partner with our larger and more professionally run advice practices in our network. And they will tend to consolidate some of the fringes. But again, coming up with a precise number today is not something that I would feel comfortable with.
So in other words, what you would suggest is that there may be fewer advisors in the network in the future, but the arrangements you may have with larger advice firms to be able to consolidate the quality of the advice, that might be the thing that changes.
That is correct.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jennifer Hewitt from Australian Financial Review. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. Just on that business of financial advice and increasingly unaffordable for average people face-to-face. So are you saying that AMP will inevitably pretty well have to get out of the business of providing financial advice for average Australians?
No, I'm saying exactly the opposite. I'm saying that while I see in the local market, the large players, based on the market dislocation that is happening, giving up essentially wealth management and financial advice, AMP is strategically placed, since this is one of our core businesses, to effectively be able to play a critical role in both the face-to-face, but in also finding a solution to deliver affordable, compliant advice to the average Australian. And that will need to come through a combination of better digital tools and better technology complemented with a tiered advice model.
Okay. And so what people tend to call robo-advice, you're saying that there'll be a move, a much greater move to that?
We will need to develop. I'm not sure that we would have the same definitions of robo-advice. Most people, when they talk about robo-advice, they would tend to talk about the asset allocation algorithms. We are talking about identification of client needs and then being able to identify solutions. So I would just be very careful with how that term is used. There could be very different definitions around it.
Okay. And do you see any reason, given the challenges you said in your distribution at the moment because of the focus on remediation this year, do you see that the outflows can continue in the at the same pace for another quarter or so yet?
I think Gordon has already sort of mentioned that as an answer to a previous question. Yes, our view is that Q1 will probably result in similar numbers as Q4. And I sort of highlighted before, I think the three key things that need to change to turn that around structurally are the ones that I tackled in the answer before. So it will take some time. But if you look at the evolution of our asset base, actually you will see in the reported disclosure, our average assets went up for the year. And so funds are absolutely critical, but as a driver of bottom line economic profit, our average assets went up.
Okay. And there's a lot of talk about the impact of the buyer of last resort obligations. How concerned are you that those will be a very big impost?
So we have a contractual arrangement with our licensees where if they want to retire or exit the industry, they can sell us the client registers. It is a long process because it generally takes between 6 to 18 months. And there are a number of conditions that affect the valuation of the practices as we buy them, including compliance, audit, client file reviews, the condition of the revenues, and prevailing market prices. And so I am not worried about us having to do something that is not economical.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Paulina Duran from Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. My question is around your revenue line at the top. You're flagging a 48% fall in net investment gains. Just wanted to confirm or check what's driving that hit to revenues. And is this mainly related to the buyer of last resort policies that you have and the lowering the carrying values there, or what is driving that mainly, please?
So, no, it's, Paulina, not related to that at all. And I think that perhaps you're referring to the revenue line that's reported in our published 4E, which shows a slightly different picture to what you see in the actual business unit segment reporting that we provide. So, if you look at that business unit segment reporting, you'll see, across the lines of businesses that we've talked about, and if I take the Australian Wealth Management business as an example, you'll actually see, for them, revenues that were marginally down, just a little over 4% in the year, as distinct from the number that you've outlined there. So, we can help you with this offline, but it's better to try to take the reported numbers in the investor report that we have the segment reporting in a way that is expressed the way we actually manage those businesses.
Fair enough. It's just a large number for that, having all that revenue from ordinary activities and just trying to explain that with net investment gains, just trying to translate that and just digest it. I'm happy to have a few minutes after.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Una Reedy from Infra News. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just wondering, is a demerger of AMP Capital from the parent company something that is being looked at or that we might see in the future?
Una, the portfolio of businesses that we have ongoing, as Francesco has outlined, is the portfolio as we see it going forward, with AMP Capital remaining an important and a growing part of that portfolio of businesses.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, if there are no further questions, we can finish the conference. Thank you very much, everyone, for dialing in. And if you do need further information, please don't hesitate to call Catherine Woods or myself throughout the day. Thank you very much and good morning.